Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. Super late, and I do apologize for that. No other excuse other than life just kind of really definitely got in the way. But I'm actually kind of glad that it took this long to record this episode because a lot has happened since when I was actually supposed to upload the episode, which would have been last Sunday, but so much has happened between now and then, so I'm just going to go ahead and just dive right into it. And also, San Diego Comic-Con is this week, so think of it this way. You'll have this episode to listen to now, and then maybe a few days later, the episode for San Diego Comic-Con, which I'm pretty sure we'll still be picking our edges up off of the floor, which I'm actually still doing. Thanks to Black Panther and those set photos that came out last week. I mean, everyone looks amazing. Lupita as Nakia is just, it is simply everything. Angela Bassett is simply everything. I really do hope they give us some Io and Okio on screen, like some love on screen. I mean, leave it to two Black women to be, you know, leading the charge in queer representation in a Disney Marvel movie. So I really do hope they go that route. I mean, if they end up doing that, I'll stand for the Black Panther movie for a long, long, long time. Just the costume design itself is phenomenal. I know you guys have seen those pictures from EW, like, or Entertainment Weekly, like, they're amazing. Like, there really is no other way to describe it, to be really honest. I mean, I'm just so ready for this movie to come out. And Lord, please, Marvel, don't be like DC with the Wonder Woman coverage. Give us Dora Milaje stuff now. I'm talking about featurettes. I know y'all stupidly canceled. Well, my understanding from that book, from what I heard from someone else, is that it was always supposed to be a limited series. World of Wakanda is what I'm talking about. But still, making it a limited series probably wasn't the wisest move, given that Black Panther's getting ready to come out and the hype surrounding that is going to be there. So, I don't know. Maybe they can do something else, but just, it would be nice to have some things that are special and concentrated on the women of Wakanda. I mean, Shuri and those gauntlets alone look amazing. So, Marvel, if you're listening, which you probably aren't listening to this podcast, but if you are, you know, figure that out, because that would just be printing money. But I mean, not going to tell you how to run your business. So, oh yeah. And before I forget, Man-Ape is fine. And I know that I can't think of the actor's name at the very moment. Sorry. But I know he was on Persons of Interest. And yeah, he dropped me off in the Jabari lands and let me see what's going on. That's all I got to say about that. But I think that's enough for Black Panther talk, because I could really honestly go all day. Oh, one last thing. Madam Slay. That's it. Okay. So because I could really talk about that all day, I'm just going to talk about comics real quick, which actually will not be that long because there hasn't really been a lot out. Or maybe I've been a lot more stingy with my coins. I'm not sure. But the only thing I really felt like it was really worth talking about was Claudia and Rex, chapter one. So this book is new. It came out Wednesday of last week, which was the, what day was that? The 12th? Might have been the 12th, but it came out last Wednesday, and it's from Lion Forge. It's by Ulysses Fernandez, Eric Freitas, and Daniel Rizera. And I'm pretty sure I butchered the hell out of all those names. My deepest apologies. But it does not take away how good I thought this first chapter was. Like, I really enjoyed it. And so the book itself, it features three women of color, Claudia, Rex, and then their mom. There's, I guess, like a mythical element going on to it. And that's pretty much how the book, it like really introduces that like really, really quickly. So to not give away too much, just really summarize it. Angsty girl of color and gods. So what more could you want? So I'm looking forward to see how chapters 2 and 3 go, and if we'll get more of Claudia and Rex, or if it's just a limited series or whatever it's going to be. I think it says 1 through 3. So probably is limited, but I'm looking forward to reading the next two books. It was so good, I actually had to go pick up a physical copy. And I don't always do that, but I do for books that I really, really enjoy. So I end up buying them twice. Okay, so another book from Lion Forge, because I guess it's about to be Lion Forge time. Noble, it continues to be good. Like, I'm really here for Astrid and just the Noble fam. I mean, just for Noble period. Like, I'm ready for them to meet up and see what unfolds. And Lorena has made her entrance in this book, and the most recent issue anyway. And I'm just really excited to see how she works as a villain in this universe. And I mean, really, honestly and truly, so far, like, the whole entire Kallus Prime universe really does have my attention. It's been really good so far. Excel 2 also came out the same day as Collier and Rex, and I really like that book. It's got a video game type of feel to it, so for me that's what's keeping me reading. And also the story is pretty all right. So so Excel, Noble, Claudia and Rex, I believe Superb will be out maybe this week. I feel like it should be marked on my calendar. It might be, but I feel like Superb, which is another book from Lion Forge that's based in the Kallus Prime universe, is also supposed to be out soon. So I'm looking forward to that. And lastly, a oldie but a goodie, and you guys have probably heard me talk about this before, but it's Marvel's Next Wave, Agents of Hate. And I'm bringing this up because I was watching Castlevania on Netflix, and Warren Ellis is writing that, and it just got me to thinking how, because Castlevania is like really good, but it got me to thinking like how amazing and great it would be if Warren Ellis was given the opportunity to adapt his Next Wave series into a Netflix series. So I would even take animation or live action, preferably actually animation, because the animation for Castlevania is exquisite. Like, people are getting murked left and right. There was a baby in the middle of the street in one episode I was watching, but I wouldn't be mad if they kept the same animation style for Agents of Hate. So I'm thinking of things that we probably, you know what? Let me not even say that. Let me just put it out into the universe. Speak it and you shall receive it. So hopefully that does come true. So Warren Ellis writing Next Wave, into a series would be great. I mean, I really love that series because Monica Rambeau is spilling tea all over the place about her time with the Avengers, like really dragging Captain America in them. So Warren Ellis, Next Wave, Netflix series. Win-win. Printing money again. So there is a lot going on for movies. I'm actually going to review Spider-Man Homecoming, and I'm pretty sure my take is super late, but it just means that it was in the oven for a little bit, so that should work out in my favor. So as far as TV is concerned, Game of Thrones is back, and hopefully you watched Game of Thrones, but it's back. The first episode, as per usual, was actually, you know what? This episode, the first episode for season 7 compared to the other ones, and I don't know, I didn't do the Game of Thrones rewatch like everyone else did. I probably should have, but I don't know, like, this opening episode didn't feel as busy as the other ones. Like, there was a lot going on, but at the same time, like, it still felt like there was a lot going on, but it felt like it wasn't a lot going on, whatever the hell that means. But I don't know, like, it just felt heavier, maybe, because we have Arya being Arya and taking folks out. John and Sansa get into it. Samwell is pledging basically on shit duty, and the Hound, we see him, you know, I guess, you know, post Ileana fix my life, basically. That is Hound right now. And then at the end, we get Khaleesi finally making it back home. And actually, that whole sequence with her was actually pretty cool because it was silent and just her taking in everything. And then the very last, very, very, very last thing said in the episode was, "Shall we begin?" So when she was looking at Tyrion. So it's Game of Thrones. I mean, I really don't know what else you want me to say about it. It's either you love it or you don't. And I happen to really love it. So I'm looking forward to season 7. Like Cersei and Jaime, I don't know what they got going on, but Khaleesi is coming with them dragons, bitch. So you better watch your ass, because Cersei still has that "may I please speak to the manager" haircut. So I'm hoping that that works to her benefit in some way this season. So enough about Game of Thrones. Insecure will be back this week in the 23rd, I believe. So I really, really hope y'all are tuning in. I'm ready. I think you can watch season 1 for free if you don't have HBO Go. I do not have the details on that, but that is what Google is for. I feel like I've seen that coming, like, you know, skipping down the timeline or something like that. But I think I plan on watching Insecure season 1 over again, because it's short, 30-minute episodes before season 2 premieres. I can be ready. Claws. I've spoke about it before on the show, but I want to talk about it again because it's been recently renewed for a season 2, and I really have to say that this is my summer 2017 surprise show, because there's always that one for me, but this one is has definitely been it, and I can't say this enough, but Niecy Nash is so good in this. Like, if you haven't watched Getting On, that is a slept on show that is on HBO, but she's on that show and she's really good. Alice Borstein is there and someone else, but Niecy Nash is really, she's kind of like a straight man in that show. And by that, I mean, to Alice Borstein's comedy, she's the straight man to that. So check it out. Getting on HBO. Back to Claws. Karrueche has been good in this show. And I feel like if Karrueche is good in your show, then you have a good show. And I'm like really legitimately happy for Karrueche Tran too. So she's been good. I just really love how everyone is down for Desna. Like, for instance, Polly would be somebody I want to have on my team. The only thing about Claws that, yeah, I will say that I don't like how the Dean character isn't being properly represented. And by that, I mean being played by a Black autistic actor. So, I mean, I don't really have the range on that one, but Vylissa Thompson, I know she posted an article on her site, Ramp Your Voice, that was written about, you know, how this representation is important, because it is. Just because it's not representation for you doesn't mean that it's not important. It definitely is important. So actually go check that piece out. Someone who can better speak to that is talking about it. So that's what you should do. Go listen to those that know what they're talking about. So that is my only knock on Claws. Like, I really do hope that they're able to rectify that in some way. How, I don't know, but all I do know is that that needs to be fixed. Speaking of trailers and all that stuff, A Wrinkle in Time. See, this is why I'm glad I wasn't able to record the episode until now, because that trailer came out on Saturday and I think I was in the mall before it premiered and I was just walking through the mall ball. It looks gorgeous. Now, full disclosure, I have not read the Wrinkle in Time book. I feel like maybe I have, but I don't remember anything. I feel like I have in school. I'm pretty sure that was required reading in some class, but I haven't read it. So I don't know, but I do know that I am looking forward to this movie. If I can find the book on Audible, then I'll probably give it a listen. But as far as me reading it, no, I don't have the time. So, but I got time for the movie and I'm looking forward to it. Like, this looks gorgeous. And look what happens when you don't skip on the budget. Look what happens when you give Black women the reins to be creative. Ava DuVernay stuck her whole leg into this movie. It looks like the trailer is just, it's gorgeous. So hopefully before the movie premieres in 2018 springtime, I would have listened to the book. But if not, I mean, I'm still gonna be there to support. So I'm looking forward to it. So, you know, a curly headed little Black girl is the center of a sci-fi magical adventure, and I mean, that's what we're looking for, because Also, another reason why I'm happy that this episode is just not being recorded is because we finally got to know who the 13th Doctor is. Drum roll, wait for it. Her name is, yes, it's a her. Her name is Jodie Whittaker, and you might know her from, I believe, Attack the Block. But she's a white woman. And while I am happy that finally Doctor Who has decided to catch up to 2017 and finally make a woman the Doctor, I'm also pretty annoyed because, again, there is a white woman leading the charge for a change. And it's just, you know, when are we not going to do this? Like, what? What? So, of course, Twittered. And a lot of people were just hanging their hats on the fact that this was making white dude bros, or just dude bros, period, upset and blah, 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 which is fine. It's fun. That's great. And then, of course, white women were white women-y. And, you know, getting upset with women of color that were just saying, okay, well, this is great. But, you know, the Doctor could have very well been a woman of color. And it's kind of shitty to say, not kind of shitty, but it is shitty to say, oh, well, now that there is this white woman as the Doctor, maybe that'll open up the door for women of color. Because it's just like, you know, y'all don't have to be through the damn door first all the time. It could be one of us. And personally, honestly, truly, I would have really, I felt like it would have been revolutionary as hell if the Doctor, 13th Doctor, would have been a woman of Southeastern, Southeast Asian descent or Middle Eastern. That would have been my pick. But that's not what happened. And here we are. And I have not watched the last episode of the latest season of Doctor Who, but from what it sounds like, I'm going to be irritated because it sounds like Bill gets shafted. So here we are. So yeah, like it's weird because, you know, at one point, I mean, on one hand, like you are happy that this is happening and things are changing, but it's just like every single time there's some supposed to be some foundation, some lead for change is led by a white woman. And yes, so that's what's going on with Doctor Who. But moving on to that and switching gears to the movie Girls Trip, which comes out this Friday as well, July 21st. I'm looking forward to this movie because it just looks like fun, and I haven't seen like a really fun movie in this way in a long time. And actually, somebody was nice enough to gift me with tickets to see it. This person is Aya Samba, and I am so sorry if I just butchered your name. I really am. But thank you so much for that. Like, I really can't wait to see that this weekend. And hopefully more men follow suit as he has and gifts more Black women with tickets to see Girls Trip. And actually, this is a tweet that is currently still going on and being rotated. This actually was a conversation that was birthed by Rebecca Theodore, and he decided to take charge and go ahead and offer to purchase tickets for Black women to see this movie, which I think is a really great idea. And I hope that other men have followed suit and they're going to be doing the same thing. So again, thank you. So I guess to wrap things up before I start talking about Spider-Man Homecoming, the only reason why I'm seeing The Dark Tower is because of Idris Elba. So I'm just going to walk in my truth. The second reason is because it's a sci-fi Western movie. I've never read the books. I kind of missed that train, and I don't know if I will be reading the books. Some Stephen King stuff I'm able to read, love it, read it more than once. Other Stephen King things, I try to read them and it's just not happening for me. I think Dark Tower was actually one of those things where I began reading the first book and, you know, just didn't align with my spirit. No shade to it, just didn't align with it. So for me, The Dark Tower, I'm seeing it because of Idris Elba. Did a poll just to be curious if other people were seeing it, you know, because he was a part of it or for the love of King. And after 300 some odd votes, it's for Idris. And also, for a lot of people, they would say because of Idris and the fact they love the book too. So I really do hope this movie does well, because, you know, it is Alba. So what else can be said? Spider-Man Homecoming. And as I look at my little notes, I had a lot to say. So if you haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming now, it's been 2 weeks. So you can either sit and listen to me talk about it, or you can end the episode right here and I'll catch you later on this week. But if you decide to stay, forewarning, spoilers. So first off, I just want to say that I really enjoyed it. It's the first Marvel movie for me when I didn't start daydreaming or nodding off at some point, because it hit a lull and a lullaby me to sleep. Please do not act brand new, but there are times in a lot of Marvel movies where there's just a lot of talking going on, and like boring talking, exposition that's going on. And for me, this is kind of nod off a little bit. So that did not happen. I actually thought the pacing was really good, and even the third act held up on its own. Tom Holland did an amazing job as both Peter Parker and Spider-Man. I do not want to get in argument matches with anyone, but I mean, my familiarity with Spider-Man goes as deep as watching the animated series, all of those, and some books, not all of them. So for me, I thought that Tom Holland was pretty good at both Peter and being Spider-Man. I also thought Tobey Maguire was a really good Peter Parker. Don't know about the Spider-Man part, but I thought he was a really good Peter Parker. But moving on, I really, really felt like this movie would have been a teen movie that John Hughes would have made if he would have remembered to make his cast not only diverse, but also inclusive at the same time. And that's just me. I really did love the fact that for this movie to look as colorful as it did, like, it didn't spend the whole entire time winking back at us and letting us know, hey, look at us. We're being diverse. We're being inclusive. Look at that. Look at that brown person over there. Look at this. Look. It didn't do that shit. And I'm happy that it didn't, because if it did, then it just would have been, it would have been like everything else that really makes a point to say, hey, we're doing that new trendy thing, being diverse. So look at us, be great, and give us all the cookies. It didn't do that. It just felt, I don't know, like it felt natural for the most part. Like everybody being there, it felt like they would be there because it's the world and that's how the world looks. So I don't know what else to say about that. I know that there was a lot of going on about representation of Black women in the film, because Laura Harrier's and Zendaya's characters, but I thought they were fine. I didn't really sit there going squinty eye, what the fuck just happened, which I was expecting to do, but I didn't. In fact, I was happy that neither one of them were the sassy Black friend trope that we see all the time in teen shows and movies. I thought both Liz and Michelle were their own, while they don't have much interaction with one another on the film, and the film does not pass the Bechdel test. It's not so egregious that it just totally sours the movie for me. It's a problem, but it wasn't, you know, like, ugh, let's throw this in the trash. Now, while it's not revealed that Zendaya's character is indeed, it is revealed, I'm sorry, that Zendaya's character is indeed named Michelle. She said that she goes by MJ from her friends, and I believe I'm okay with that, especially if there is no ramp, if this is a revamping of the MJ character, because who's still naming their kid Mary Jane in 2017? I don't know. Or when they would have been born, which would have been in the 2000s. I don't know. So if there's just a revamping of that character, and this is not like an opening for them to bring in a blonde haired girl with her hair dye red for Mary Jane. So hopefully they don't do that, but I'm not going to hold my breath at the same time, because it's still Marvel. What I really did not care for in the film is that it just used a lot of Miles Morales's story beats for Peter's story. And I thought that was very trash of them to do. So much so that even when Donald Glover drops the Easter egg that he does, there's a part in the film where Peter is interrogating him. And after that goes horribly, they're talking and he's just like, you know, I have a nephew that lives in this neighborhood. And I was like, oh, well, if he's the Prowler, then that means that that's Miles. And oh, that's great. That's cute. So, well, I did get excited when that was said. At the same time, I was just kind of annoyed because it's just like, we really didn't have to have this conversation if y'all just would have made this movie Miles Morales Homecoming, but I digress. Yeah, like, it's Marvel. Michael Keaton is still fine. And I loved him as the Vulture. Like, the character, the Vulture that I'm familiar with has always appeared to be, like, you know, feeble and played by old man, definitely in the comics and the anime series. But I loved how formidable Keaton's Vulture was, and scary, actually. Because that suit was terrifying. And just that very last, in the third act, the scene that takes place when they're, like, in the sky and he's on the plane. I don't know, like, that Vulture, that's a scary ass looking Vulture. So I was, yeah, look at Michael Keaton. Lived long enough to see himself a villain. So I thought I was here for that villain, actually. I really honestly was. Marvel villains sometimes are meh. But Michael Keaton's Vulture, like, I was here for it. And there was just enough Tony, but not too much Tony. So, and I was also really happy to see Happy. I did love Peter Sue and the AI. I thought Karen was cute. I loved Aunt May. Marissa Tomei is still fine. And I love that we don't have to sit through Uncle Ben being clapped in the street for the umpteenth time. Because I got this wrong on Twitter. I said levity when I did not mean that. The enormity of Uncle Ben's death is still, like, very, very present in the film. So, like, there are times where you can put two and two together and why May is so worried about Peter when he doesn't call, that obviously Uncle Ben's death has played a huge role in how they go about their daily life. But it also shows how life can still go on and still be fun after you've lost a loved one. So it speaks to that too. So for me, this is my favorite Spider-Man just because of how inclusive it was, and it was fun. Now, Spider-Man 2 is still also one of my favorites, so one does not negate the other. I'm not about to have that argument. So I still enjoy both of them. Spider-Man 3 is horrendous, however, I still watch it. And Spider-Man 1 was, you know, other than X-Men and Batman and stuff like that, was my first time, you know, really enjoying a Marvel movie. So, it wasn't Marvel, my bad. That was Sony, right? Yeah, Sony. So, the earlier Spider-Mans will always have a special place in my heart, but this new one, I just really enjoyed it. I don't know what else to say. Like, I didn't orgasm in the theater after I saw it, but I thought it was, like, really good. So for me, Spider-Man Homecoming is a must-see if you haven't seen it yet. So guys, I'm actually gonna wrap this podcast up. I'll be back, like I said, shortly with everything that happens in San Diego Comic-Con this week. D23 happened also over the weekend. That's how we got the Wrinkle in Time video. And apparently they showed a trailer or a teaser trailer for Infinity War. And Marvel was like, well, guess y'all gonna have to wait. Sorry for you, but we're not about to release that to the public. So that sucks. So hopefully we get some information or we get to see that trailer during this weekend, during SDCC. So fingers crossed. But this will not be my last episode, but that episode will be my last episode, not podcasting period, but just for the Lemonade Podcast to be the season finale, not the series, but the season finale for the year, just because I need a small podcasting break. But I promise I'll be back with more stuff to talk about. Hopefully for real, that website and a few other things, but just, you know, need a moment to get everything together. So I just want to thank you all for listening and being patient. And again, I am so sorry this episode is so late. So I guess, you know, go ahead and gel these edges down and get ready for San Diego Comic-Con, because God knows what's going to happen. So I hope you all have a wonderful week. I hope that while you're listening to this, your day is going fine, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening. So I'll catch you all later. Bye.